From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. ASEAN and Japan agree on a common vision and future partnership implementation plan. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida says ASEAN and Japan will partner in human resources. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the ASEAN and Japan have agreed on several shared visions and future partnerships implementation plans. This was said by Indonesian President Joko Widodo in a joint statement at a summit commemorating 50 years of ASEAN-Japan friendship and cooperation on Sunday. As partners for peace and stability, ASEAN and Japan continue to be committed to maintaining regional peace and stability through inclusive collaboration, respecting for the rules of international law and strengthening ASEAN centrality. President Joko Widodo believes that the ASEAN and Japan partnerships can continue to maintain stability and peace, bring people closer together, and drive economic growth in the region and the world. He added that ASEAN and Japan also agreed to increase cooperation in education, research development, and digital economy. Japan will launch a comprehensive human resource exchange partnership that includes intellectual and cultural exchange. This was said by Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida in a joint statement with Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Sunday at the summit commemorating 50 years of ASEAN-Japan friendship and cooperation.
Kami akan meluncurkan kemitraan
kreatif. We will launch the next generation of co-creation partnerships, a comprehensive human resources exchange program that includes intellectual and cultural exchange.
Mencakup pertukaran intelektual dan budaya.
In addition, Prime Minister Kishida further said as part of Hiroshima Action Plan, Japan will develop nuclear disarmament and cooperation in the fields of justice, women, peace, and cybersecurity to strengthen regional security. Head of the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, Dwi Korita Karnawati, encouraged the continuous strengthening of cooperation and collaboration between countries in the Indian Ocean region. This is to prevent and minimize risks resulting from earthquake and tsunami disasters that could occur at any time. As reported by Antara, the opening of a webinar organized by the Intergovernmental Coordination Group of Indian Ocean Tsunami Warning and Mitigation System, ICG-IOTWMS, Dwi Korita, who is also the group's chairwoman, stated that the Indian Ocean is one of the regions very prone to tsunamis because of two subduction zones present under the ocean. Therefore, the threat should be anticipated, including by increasing public understanding and awareness. One way to increase preparedness is by forming a tsunami-ready community, a community program based on 12 indicators that have been determined by UNESCO. The fifth president of Indonesia, Megawati Soekarnoputri, attended a closed meeting with several judges for the 2024 Zayed Award for Human Fraternity in Rome, Italy, on Sunday. Other judge members included the Vatican's Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation for the Oriental Churches, Cardinal Leonardo Sandri, Secretary General of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, Rebecca Greenspan-Mayufis, Chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedoms, Rabbi Abraham Cooper, Former Director General of UNESCO Irina Bokova and Secretary General of Zayed Award Mohammed Abdul Salam. The award's judges were claimed to be selected for their commitment to social service throughout the world and in efforts for peaceful coexistence. The presentation of the Zayed Award will be held on the International Day of Human Fraternity on February 4, 2024. Let's move on to international news, where two suspected Chinese weather balloons flew across the sensitive Taiwan Strait on Sunday but stayed well to the north of Taiwan, the island's defense ministry said on Monday. As reported by Reuters, this is the second time this month Taipei has reported them nearby. The potential for China to use balloons for spying became a global issue in February when the United States shut down what it was said as a Chinese surveillance balloon, but which China said was a civilian craft that accidentally drifted astray. Taiwan is on a high alert for Chinese activities, both military and political, ahead of the general election in January. Taiwan's defense ministry said the two balloons were detected at 9 a.m. and 2:43 p.m. local time after crossing the strait's median 110 nautical miles or 204 kilometers northwest of the northern Taiwanese port city of Kelong. Israel is planning to build an underground anti-tunnel wall near the border between the Gaza Strip, Palestine and Egypt, according to local media on Sunday, as reported by Anadolu. The wall is planned to be built on the Philadelphia axis following the end of the current war in Gaza, Israeli Army Radio reported. According to the broadcasters, an Israeli delegation had traveled to Egypt for talks on the construction of the wall. There was no immediate comment from Egypt on the Israeli report. The Philadelphia axis is a narrow strip within the territory of the Gaza Strip, extending 14 kilometers along the border between the enclave and Egypt. According to Israeli news channels I-24 News, the country fears the presence of tunnels in the Palestinian area East Rafah, which is considered an extension of the Philadelphia axis. Israel believes that the underground tunnels have been key to Hamas operations on the battlefield, but according to the channel, Egypt repeatedly said that there were no underground tunnels in the border area with the Gaza Strip. Papua New Guinean Prime Minister James Marape has welcomed the reopening of the Porgera mine in Enga in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, saying it is an example of the government's new approach to negotiation with mining companies. As reported by RNZ, the mine, run by New Porgera Limited and majority owned by the national and provincial government and landowners, is set to officially restart on Friday. The mine was closed for nearly 4 years as the government and multinational Barrick Gold and Zijin Mining battled over lease condition. Marape said it has been a long road to the reopening of the mine, but it has been worth the effort. Under the renegotiated arrangement, New Porgera has 51% ownership by PNG stakeholders, which Marape said will deliver unprecedented benefits for Papua New Guineans. The Prime Minister said New Porgera Limited looks set to be a significant contributor to the economy through a corporate tax of 32% and royalties rising from 2 to 3%. Listener, now let's move on to commentary on Indonesia and Japan efforts in strengthening economic relations.
Here is commentary on Indonesia and Japan's efforts in strengthening economic relations. I'm Dolat Pane. Indonesia and Japan agreed to raise more trade obstacles. Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi on Saturday said this happened after the two states finished negotiations on protocols to enhance bilateral economic agreements. In a statement, Minister Retno Marsudi said Japan would give a wider access for Indonesian products, including waiving tariff for fishery processed products. The two also would improve the relations in banking sector. According to Retno Marsudi, the two nations expected Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement, IJPA, could immediately be implemented in the first quarter of 2024. But the agreement needed to be signed and ratified officially by each parliament after legal points examination. Minister Marsudi's statement was given after President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida amid Tokyo Summit, which marked 50th anniversary of Japan and ASEAN relations. In the meeting with Prime Minister Kishida, Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlighted the importance of Jakarta and Tokyo Agreement on important mineral production that is owned by Indonesia. This was in line with the efforts of Indonesia in putting itself as a main player in global electric vehicle battery supply chain. Besides, Japan would also give patrol ship to Indonesian Coast Guards worth 9 billion yen or almost 1 trillion rupees. This aimed to give Indonesia in building maritime capacity. Indonesia and Japan also built a more intensive relations in public transport. President Joko Widodo received a guarantee from Japan to continue MRT Jakarta for East-West track during a bilateral meeting with Prime Minister Kishida in Tokyo on Saturday. Good relations between Indonesia and Japan in various sectors, especially economy, has been nurtured for more than half a century. Onwards, it is expected to keep improving with a principle of mutual benefit. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today in history with an event on December 18, 1973, when World Arabic Language Day was established by UNESCO. World Arabic Language Day celebrated every December 18 to recognize the importance of this language and its widespread use throughout the world. Arabic is one of the oldest languages in the world. On December 18, 1973, the UN recognized Arabic as one of the six official languages of the UN. Arabic has been around for more than 1,000 years and continues to gain new speakers. In addition to native speakers, more than a billion people around the world learn Arabic to study the Quran. Today, Arabic is spoken by more than 400 million people in 25 countries. There are also many words in various languages of the world that come from Arabic roots. Let's move on to the next event about International Migrants Day. International Migrants Day is celebrated on December 18 every year. This day was created to increase understanding of migration throughout the world. International Migrants Day was declared by the United Nations General Assembly on December 4, 2000. 18 December was chosen because it is the date when the UN adopted the International Convention on the Protection of the Rights of All Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families in 1990. With International Migrants Day, it is hoped that it can promote the orderly and humane management of migration throughout the world. We entered in history with an event in 1973 when Soyuz 13 was launched. Soyuz 13 was a Soviet manned space flight. The spacecraft was specially modified to carry the Orion 2 Space Observatory, which was the first manned space observatory. The observatory was operated by crew members Valentin Lebedev. The designer of the observatory was Grigor Gurdzian, which was then at the Garni Space Astronomy Laboratory in Armenia. Unlike Soyuz 12, it was equipped with solar panels to enable extended missions. They also tested Oasis' second closed ecological system and harvested proteins produced 30 times the original biomass. Medical tests as well carried out, including experiments to measure blood flow to the brain. The crew landed in a snowstorm on December 26, but recovered a few minutes later about 200 kilometers southwest of Karaganda.
Yang ada di hatimu tak dapat ku sangsikan. Ternyata dirinya lah yang mengerti kamu, bukanlah diriku. Kini maafkanlah aku bila ku menjadi bisu kepada dirimu. Bukan santunku terbungkam, hanya hatiku berbatas untuk mengerti kamu. Maafkanlah aku.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled ASEAN-Japan Leaders Discuss Situation in Gaza. Leaders of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and Japan discussed the situation in Gaza at a high-level conference co-chaired by Indonesia's President Joko Widodo and Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. In a joint press conference with Prime Minister Kishida after the ASEAN-Japan Summit in Tokyo on Sunday, December 17th, President Joko Widodo said that ASEAN and Japan highlight the importance of pushing for a permanent ceasefire.
Selain itu, kami juga membahas situasi di Gaza.
We also discuss the situation in Gaza and the importance of pushing for a permanent ceasefire and the widest possible access to humanitarian assistance and the immediate start of the peace process. According to President Joko Widodo, the commitment to encourage the realization of peace in Gaza is part of the role of ASEAN and Japan as partners for peace and stability. He explained that during the 50 years of partnership, ASEAN and Japan played each other's role as partners in maintaining regional peace and stability. President Joko Widodo stated that ASEAN and Japan continue to be committed to maintaining regional peace and stability through inclusive cooperation, respect for the rules of international law, and strengthening ASEAN centrality. The Indonesian president explained that ASEAN leaders also expressed their appreciation for Japan's full support for the implementation and prioritization of the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific. ASEAN leaders further welcomed the high-level conference on the trilateral mechanism between Japan, China, and South Korea as a form of habit of dialogue. In his press statement, Prime Minister Kishida said, "When divisions and conflicts occur in various regions and in the midst of the crisis experienced by the world today, Japan will stand with ASEAN on the basis of a free and open Indo-Pacific." The Japanese Prime Minister added, "Based on the principle of mutual trust, ASEAN and Japan will overcome new challenges and contribute to regional peace and stability, thereby creating a world where everyone can enjoy prosperity and protected human dignity." Meanwhile, the Palestinian issue was also one of the issues discussed at the bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Japan on Saturday. In the meeting at the office of Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, President Joko Widodo laid stress on Indonesia's commitment to continuing to seek a permanent ceasefire, planning sustainable humanitarian assistance, and encouraging the start of a peace process to achieve a two-state solution as soon as possible. President Joko Widodo said Japan's support was highly expected. That was My Indonesia Today.
Jelita.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listeners, today's Indonesian wonder takes you to Champlong Nature Tourism Park, which is located at Champlong Village, Fatule District, Kupang Regency. It is around 46 km from the city of Kupang, capital of East Nusa Tenggara Province, Indonesia. Champlong Nature Tourism Park is visited by many tourists. This 2,000-hectare tourism park is a natural habitat for hundreds of flora and fauna endemic to the island of Timor. Apart from that, this place also has natural resources, such as naturally formed springs and pools, as well as natural caves. This tourism park is the choice of tourists visiting Kupang because of its natural beauty and coolness. The main feature of Champlong Nature Tourism Park is that this place has a large variety of flora and fauna, which are classified as rare. In this tourism park, there are various animal breeding facilities such as crocodiles, Timor deer, and pythons. Tourists can also find native endemic animals that live in the wild, such as the black-backed pigeon and the yellowish-green shoulder cockatoo. Several wild animals can also be found here, such as long-tailed monkeys, lizards, couscous, Sri Gunting bird, and many more. Apart from being a habitat for various fauna, the Champlong Forest also grows sandalwood trees, which are endemic to the island of Timor. In the Champlong Nature Tourism Park, there are also natural caves. This natural cave is usually used for cave exploration activities. Besides, there is also an artificial cave owned by Champlong. During the colonial period, the Japanese built a cave in the forest, which is now part of the Champlong Nature Tourism Park. The cave was used as a hiding place when they were attacked by local people. Listener, this forest area, which was first designated as a tourism park in 1929, can be reached from the city of Kupang to Champlong Forest by taking public transportation to So or using a private car with a parking fee of 5,000 rupiah for motorbikes and 10,000 rupiah for cars. It's all less than $1. To enter this tourist spot, you need to pay a fairly cheap entrance ticket, namely 5,000 rupiah on weekdays, or 7,500 rupiah on holidays for adults, and 3,000 rupiah on weekdays, or 4,500 rupiah on holidays for children. That was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Genitku kau nak aku kau tetap. centilku, kau manjaku diriku.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Hello VOI listener, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Service, and the Language Development Agency of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is di Bandung, which means in Bandung. So stay tuned. Listener, you will listen to a conversation entitled Pembatas Jalan, which means road separator. This conversation happens between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Annie, Chris' vlog community friend at Gedung Sate Building in Bandung, West Java. Andy tells Chris that there is a road separator in front of the entrance. Let's listen to the conversation.
Kita tidak bisa masuk lewat pintu utama gedung sate. Ada pembatas jalan di situ.
Kalau begitu, kita lewat mana?
Kita bisa lewat pintu samping.
After listening to the conversation, I will give some vocabularies related to the topic of today. I'm going to read it slowly and you can repeat after me. Ada. Ada, which means there is. Pembatas jalan. Pembatas jalan, which means road separator. Di situ. Di situ, which means there. Ada pembatas jalan di situ. Ada pembatas jalan di situ, which means there is a road separator there. Kita, kita, which means we. Lewat, lewat, which means pass through. Mana, mana, which means which. Pintu utama, which means main entrance. Pintu samping, which means side entrance. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, ada pembatas jalan di situ. Ada pembatas jalan di situ, which means there is a road separator there. In the sentence, there is the word pembatas. Pembatas, which means separator. It means a tool that separates something. In the sentence, the expression pembatas jalan means a tool that separates road. Let's listen to the other examples of a noun that means alat. Alat, which means tool. Penyedot. Penyedot. In this context means cleaner. Penyedot debu saya rusak. Penyedot debu saya rusak. Which means my vacuum cleaner is broken. Pencuci. Pencuci, which means washer. Saya ingin membeli pencuci piring otomatis. Saya ingin membeli pencuci piring otomatis, which means I want to buy an automatic dishwasher. Listener, Gedung Sate is a building used for the office of West Java Governor. This building was built in 1920 until 1924 in the Dutch colonial era. The name Gedung Sate comes from the ornament on the building roof, which resembles the shape of sate. Sate is meat skewers from Indonesia. Before we end Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kita tidak bisa masuk lewat pintu utama gedung sate. Ada pembatas jalan di situ.
Kalau begitu, kita lewat mana?
Kita bisa lewat pintu samping.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. I'm Rahma signing out, and sampai jumpa!
Ku hitung detik waktu.
wanna hold you. I just wanna kiss you. I just wanna love you all my life. I normally wouldn't say this, but I just can't contain it. I want you here forever, right here by my side.
All the fears you feel inside and all the tears you've cried, they're ending right here. I'll heal your heart.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listeners, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Segenggam Harapan by Dina, accompanied by Gita Mahardika Keroncong Orchestra. In the mid-late 1970s, Budiman Beje felt anxious about the development of art in Indonesia. At that time, the strong flow of foreign culture such as pop and rock music entering Indonesia eroded keroncong music. Nowadays, many young people are starting to like keroncong. Many schools started singing keroncong songs. There were also many keroncong groups and young singers singing keroncong songs. Perhaps this is the revival and future of keroncong in the younger generation, which is what Budiman Beje hopes for, as stated in the song Segenggam Harapan, which he wrote in 1978. In English, it means a hope. Well, listener, here is Dina featuring Gita Mahardika Keroncong Orchestra with the song Segenggam Harapan. Enjoy!
Musik.
Of Indonesia.
terbuang. Mestinya aku sadari dulu semua ulah dan sikapku. Lagu untukmu, sekedar kata maaf dariku. Terserah kau suka atau benci, yang pasti aku terima. Aku masih rasa yang dulu pernah ada. Maafkan aku atas semua yang pernah kita lewati bersama. Tetap bahagia.
Listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.